Hey, girl. Yes, you. You are seen. You are loved. And you were made for more. Hey, created especially for teen girls, chart-topping Christian artist Ann Wilson invites you to her 40-day devotional, Hey Girl. Through honest stories, scripture, and journal prompts, Ann talks about real struggles, comparison, insecurity, doubt, and faith, reminding you that God is always near and fighting for you. Hey Girl, from K-Love Books. Get your copy today at klove.com/books.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 12th day of December 2025. And tonight, our producer, you know, he's back. He was gone for a while, folks. All you remember the mighty Andrew. And word has it that he was wrestling grizzlies in the circus and making good money at it until he got charged with animal abuse. Is that what happened there, Andy?
Yeah, those crazy leftists and their animal abuse.
Bleeding hearts, liberals. But anyhow, you're back now. And the Bears are glad. And tonight we have way out there in Missouri. Okay? That's right. He's a legend out there. He is a legend. He's, what can I say? They call him the Back Road Parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
I guess you could say infamous is a much better word, but your God-fearing, Bible-believing patriot pastor is here, ready to go to work with you, boss.
Wow.
Have you back.
Yep, well, I'm going to talk about that just in a minute, but, you know, way out yonder in Texas, you know, Joe, they say had McTernan been at the Alamo, the Texans would have won, but who knows? Big John McTernan.
That's pretty. Hey, how did the how is your eye doing?
Oh, you know what? It's a good question. It's not there. No, I'm only kidding. Very, very good. I want to say thank you to Dr. Chern and to Danielle and Felicia, all the good folks out there at the VA outpatient. Surgical eye clinic, because they're in Cleveland. Why, you guys should have been there today. They really, really make you feel good. You know, when you go in there, they treat you right. And here's the good thing. Everybody was saying Merry Christmas to everybody out there today. Merry Christmas again. Remember how it used to be where we all, everywhere you went, you would hear Merry Christmas? And, boy, I heard it there today, and that's a good thing. And I make sure everywhere I go, I say Merry Christmas. What do you think?
Well, Merry Christmas.
There you go.
And Merry Christmas to you and your family and all the viewers out there in Radio Land.
Yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, I come out of there, And now I'm within a day or two, when this the right eye is healed up, I'll have good vision, perfect vision in both my eyes. But this one won't, is going to take a day or two before it gets up. But I just want to go praise the good Lord, because this has been a very tough year. I mean, a very tough year for those of us in this ministry here, health-wise. We've had our share of the things happening to us, and I guess that includes you two guys too. But anyhow, after saying all that, Joe, you got a prayer request.
I sure do, dear friend of the family. Your name is Meryl. I had asked for prayers for her before. I think it was back Monday or Tuesday. She'd been fighting a horrible infection, had several health problems, and while they were having to drain her lungs because of an infection that turned into, I guess, pneumonia, who knows, they found a very large lump in her lungs, and the biopsy came back this afternoon. It's a big cancer, so continued prayers for Meryl and Fred. Her husband's disabled. The whole community has gotten together helping take care of their farm and Fred. And she got moved into rehab this afternoon, and we'll go from there, put it in the good Lord's hands.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, we need to do that, and because, you know, we just prayed to his perfect will. And but here, and these people are saved, but what would you say about to a woman who, well, she's no spring chicken. She's as old as we are, fellas, who is unsaved and has a growth inside her the size of a basketball. What would your advice be?
I mean, immediately confess Jesus Christ, repent and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
We've been, and her family's been telling her this for years, and now she's in bad shape in the hospital. And her name is Sophie, and she needs to repent, and we prayed for her over and over. And she needs to get saved, because things don't look good for Sophie. John, would you ask to say a prayer for Sophie?
I sure will. Yes. Or did you say Joe or John?
I said John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well,
oh,
it's okay.
Yeah. Abba Father, we bring Sophie before you, and she's been prayed for years, and has been resistant, stubborn against your gospel. And I pray that this would bring reality to her. And Lord, I had prayed for my father for about 35 years, and a week before he passed away, he made a decision for Jesus Christ, and it was a real decision. We pray that the same thing with Sophie. They've been praying for her for years, and that prayer is will come bear fruit, Lord, now as she sees she's staring into eternity. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. You know, that was the same situation with me and my father. I prayed for him for years. And before he died, it was around Christmas Eve, I spent the entire night with him in the hospital Christmas Eve, and I read the entire Christmas story there from both Matthew and Luke four times. I read it, and he just listened. He said, read it again. And four times I read that entire story for him. He wanted to hear it again. And he made his profession of faith before he died. So,
praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Well, that's.
I met your dad once, Pastor Ernie. I was with you, and we stopped at the. It was in like an apartment. It wasn't a house. And you went in to see him. Do you remember that by any chance?
Yeah. He was in. He was kind of like. Yeah, it was kind of like assisted living, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then yeah. I met your mother several occasions.
Yeah. Well, she was able to get around a lot better than he was. In the end, They were, well, before then, of course, they both had to go to nursing homes at the very end, but before that,
well,
they were...
I remember at church, you had a special seat for her. You remember that?
Yeah, I sure did.
I called her the queen. I referred to her as the queen. That was quite a chair pass, Ernie, you had for her.
Yeah, but the folks, everybody in the congregation used to get a real kick out of her because she would sit there and she'd say, "Sonny, get up there and preach it, and you better get it right too." And she would have her Bible, and she would follow along with her in her Bible. She loved the Lord with all her heart, and she always had something to say to get a laugh out of the congregation. It was interesting, I can tell you. So, I remember one time I took her to church, and I thought she had gotten out of the car. And because I heard the door shut, but it wasn't her. Somebody had saw the door on the other side, and they shut it. So I thought she had gotten out of the car and shut the doors, so I started to drive off. But she still had one leg in the car. And, boy, I'm telling you, she let out with a yell, and I was afraid to come into church because she had her cane with her. And I was afraid I was going to get cane. But, luckily, nothing. She didn't get hurt or anything. But, Mom, she always had people. She had people entertained, didn't she? And
well, I can still remember seeing her on that chair, sitting on that chair.
You know, for many years, we went to nursing homes, and in a nursing home, before she died, she decided she quit eating, and I would go in there, and I would try to get her to eat, then one of the older nurses said, "Just leave her alone. Don't force her. She doesn't want to eat." And so finally, she said to me, "Would you just leave me alone? I'm tired of living. I want to go to home to be with my Lord and with my family again. So just leave me alone." And then one of her friend for many, many years said, "Don't you people understand that?" And back then I didn't, but I do now, okay? But she just wanted to go home and be with the Lord, and she made it. It was interesting. But anyhow, let's get into the message, okay?
Ready to go.
The title of the message was Two Kinds of People and Their Choices and Their Ends. And I had left off in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18. So, Joe, do you want to read verses 18 through 23? Verse 18 through Isaiah 5.
All right. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him."
Well, things haven't changed a whole lot, have they, fellas?
Well,
and
no.
When we take a look at this here, especially that last verse you read, well, I'm going to tell you, that describes the left-wing judicial, doesn't it? Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteous. Does that not, our lawfare judges today, our corrupt judges?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. that the wicked federal judge just let that drop charges or whatever it was against Garcia, who was with MS-13 and what do you call it? He was transporting illegal aliens and all. And then he said that he can't be rearrested for being an illegal alien.
Yep. Let me do a little commentary here. The left will always choose evil over good.
Always, always, Pastor Ernie. Always.
They would always rather kill babies than give birth. They love death.
Yes.
They would allow children, even their own, to be given to pedophiles. The ACLU has been trying to legalize pedophilia. They would let biological males have access to girls' and women's bathrooms and showers. They would allow trans things to compete in women's sports, such as boxing, wrestling, etc., which would put women in physical danger, which has happened. A number of them have gotten hurt, and even in volleyball, a couple of the women had concussions because of these. They were playing against men. They will always defend the murderer, the rapist, the child molester, the abuser over the victim. Have you noticed that? They don't seem to have any sympathy for the victim, but they'll always go to bat for the murderer, won't they?
They will.
All right. Last few years, that's all you've seen.
So, and the Democrat judges will put violent criminals back in the streets as fast as possible. That nutcase that stabbed that young Ukrainian girl, just stabbed her and stabbed her and stabbed her. The judge said that the reason she put him back on the streets was because he was too dangerous to be held in the institution for the criminally insane. Now, does that sound like something a Democrat would do, a Democrat?
I think the criminally insane is her sitting on the bench.
I do, too. Influenced by those on the left, two teenage boys just recently took a 14-year-old, Danica Troy, into the woods. They killed her, and then they set her on fire. And they figured that being minors, that they would probably just get a warning, okay, or probation, you know, because of these liberal judges. Like what happened to those that killed that young, that other young woman that on the train set her on fire, the one in New York, and now the one there on that train in Chicago. And just recently on that very same train, another one of these immigrants, all of these, took and stabbed some fellow over and over and over and over again. And so all of these were put back on the streets. All of these were put by Democrat, liberal, Barack-appointed Democrat judges. And those judges are the ones, in my opinion, that need to be jailed. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but the people are so passive, Pastor Ernie. In the cities there where they're being reelected, it could be that the system is so corrupt and it's so under the control of the Democrats that they can't win now. You follow? I mean, they can't lose. But the people seem to be so passive, Pastor Ernie. They're like beat down just going along with this.
Well, you just saw this thing with Letitia James. Letitia, how they found, you got these corrupt, again, judges, the lawfare. Now, with her, it wasn't a people's grand jury. It was a corrupt grand jury there in Virginia. And they do what the prosecutor tells them. Under a people's grand jury, the people tell the prosecutor how to charge them. But not the way it's done. We have such a corrupt judicial system, it's just unbelievable. Now, here's an example. You remember that Judge Hannah Dugan? She was arrested back in April for...
In Milwaukee.
Yeah, in Milwaukee for.
I remember her. I remember that whole thing vividly.
Yeah, and for letting that, for working, for committing a crime, aiding and abetting, helping an inmate escape, a wanted, someone who had a record, who was a wanted inmate, and a jury's been picked in Wisconsin, in a trial that will determine whether that judge is convicted and could face up to 6 years in prison for allegedly helping an illegal alien criminal escape federal authorities who were there to detain him. Now, the judge's hearing in the case against Hannah Dugan is suspended in Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge on charges of felony obstruction, misdemeanor, concealing an individual. U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman was confirmed that a judge can't be held. Listen, I have to turn the page here, and the page I don't want to turn. Criminally liable for judicial acts done in good faith. Can you believe that? But an analysis of the case of the Courthouse News confirmed, based on the facts and the indictment, that her actions don't fall in that narrow exceptions. Okay. So what do you think about that? A judge can't be held on criminal charges if she thought she was acting in good faith. Do you think that would apply to you guys, to you and me?
No, Pastor.
It sounds absolutely like another one of those laws for liberals and not for us. But I wanted to back up on something. There's a big story out from white guilt, apathy, fuel, massive corruption in Minnesota. Widespread indifference to feeding our future case, despite taxpayer losses of topping $1 billion. Yeah, and they're saying that, they don't care. Here they have this huge scandal. All this money that they've lost, they've been cheated out of in their taxes that they've got to cover. And it's like the people, most of the people don't seem to care. It's like, oh, well, this is government. This is what happens. And these white millennials, the white liberals, they figure white guilt and apathy reigning there in Minnesota. Somebody has done a marvelous job of brainwashing these white idiots that everything's their fault and they should be guilty for their white, and all these people who aren't are victims and we're the oppressors. And then they just, anything the Democrats do, they're apathetic about, well, the results. They don't care if the results are bad, which the results have been everything the Democrats have done in the past, what, 15, 20 years of you and I have been watching them or more that I can remember, have all turned out bad. It's insanity loose on the population, right?
Yeah, well, Tampon Tim says that deportation in itself is racism by white men. And that's what he said. And so here... And now all of that, by the way, that's not a billion. They say that so there in Minnesota could go over $8 billion, and here in Ohio, we've told people about the Somali community here in Ohio. Do you guys remember back about a year or so ago when Trump was running before the 2024 election? When in the Springfield area, they were saying that there were people that were reporting that they were watched, that they saw Somalis eating cats. There were several.
Yes,
so
I remember that.
Well, we talked about that here on the air. Yeah, the reports, we had the reports. People said, yeah, they saw it. And in Somalia, they do eat cats. Somalia, you can order and get a cat if you can find them, you know. And I don't know if you guys know that also in Somalia, stealing is a part of the culture. Anyhow, when Trump came out was speaking about that, boy, they went after him. Here in Ohio, unfortunately, our governor, Mike DeWine, brought a bunch of the Somalis in. You know, we're not, I'm not against Somalis for being Somalis, you know, but here, you know, they're around the Columbus area, heavy duty child sex trafficking, drugs, cartels. And in their little area, you'll see that they even have, you know, they even fly the Somali flags outside some of their businesses. And you know, instead of, you know, it's, and they're talking about, they actually put out a thing how someday they will conquer America, but we'll be right back. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And not everybody believes that, but they will. They certainly will. Hey, fellas, guess what I'll be doing, Lord's willing, Monday night. This coming Monday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Just guess. You're right.
Caroling, door-to-door caroling.
No. Something even better than that. Well, not that good, but I'm going to be at the Top Notch Diner at 682 South High Street in Cortland, Ohio, because this fellow named Vivek Ramaswamy, do you know who Vivek Ramaswamy is?
Well,
he's asked if I'd come out there and be with him and pray for him and the number of pastors, because he wants to do the right thing. He believes that in the way we believe as far as morality, for starting with being pro-life, pro-First Amendment, pro-Second Amendment, all the way down the line.
He's pardon? Pro-Constitution.
And he's pro-Constitution. Now, the person that they're dumping a ton of money in, the Democrats, Amy Acton, she's just as the opposite. She's not pro-life. In fact, she was associated with Planned Predators. But the Democrats is dumping a ton of money. And do you think that money's coming from Ohioans, or do you think it's coming, most of it, from out of state, fellas?
Probably coming from Soros.
Yeah, a lot of it coming from that California area. You can bet on that. And so, yeah, and so that's this coming Monday. It's from 6 to 8 p.m., and that's going to be at the Top Notch Diner at 682 South High Street in Cortland, Ohio. Now, one of the reasons it's at the Top Notch Diner, those folks out there are very, very, very patriotic. In fact, if you remember back when they started this whole COVID thing, and here in Ohio they said they put out their mandate. You couldn't have more than 10 people gathering together. And you couldn't, you had to...
Except if it was an abortion center.
Yeah, except if it was, yeah. Well, you know, and you had to have social distancing and wear masks. I went on the radio and I said, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we're going to have church. And we're going to have just like normal. We're not going to be wearing masks in there. Because we're going to obey God and not man. And we know that this whole thing, this whole COVID thing, was invented. It was about death. And so, guess what? And I went into a couple places, stores, and where they demanded that you wear a mask to come into stores. And when I said, well, then I won't come back anymore, one lady who I knew actually cried. But guess what Top Notch Restaurant did? They put a big sign out, and they said, no masks, no social distancing. We're not going along with this whole COVID thing. And so they got sued, and they won. They sued the state and won. And so they've been known. That's where a lot of patriots. And I've been out there. I've spoken out there at different events several times that they've had patriotic events, and that's why Vivek Ramaswamy will be there, and Lord's willing, I'll be there with him, with a bunch of a number of good friends of mine that are pastors. It could be a lot of pastors, I think, there are going to be laying hands.
And when you finish, Pastor Ernie, you're going to go caroling, right?
Well, no.
Well, you're speechless. I've got you speechless.
No, I tell you, see, I can't. Here's why. Next week is Pledge Week, and so I got to run all the way from there, which is a good over an hour drive. In fact, it's probably an hour and a half, and that's while I'll drive and not run, okay? And I got to get back to the studio for Pledge Week next week. But other than that, I'd go caroling with you guys. When are you going caroling, John?
That Johnny Cash voice of yours, that would really, you know, go far.
Yeah. Yeah. Hear that caroling coming. He's coming around the bend. He's singing carols. Singing now and then. All righty. All right, there you go. So we better get back to business here. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Do you know, Trump, we got to pray that somebody talks to Trump, because Trump said that he is going to, he's going to ease up on the marijuana laws, okay? In fact, that he's going to make it a less dangerous drug. This is a disaster. This is an absolute disaster. He needs to back away from that. He needs to hear from everybody on that. That these people that are taking that marijuana, do you know that marijuana is about 40 times stronger than it was back in the 60s where our generation was taking it? And
that's what I understand, Pastor Ernie. Yes, It's I don't know how much more powerful, but it's known to be incredibly more powerful than back in the 60s. Well, I graduated high school in 1966. There was zero drugs in the school. Zero, Pastor Ernie. And, you know, I was at school, so I would know it. My brother graduated 7 years later, and it was like a drug center. And in 7 years, it was incredible, the way the drugs, took over.
I don't know if they did it when you were there, but when I was there, they showed a film, and it was put out by the FBI, and the film showed drug dealers, and it was like a documentary so that we would all know to be able to recognize if the guy came in who had drugs and how that they get you started or get you hooked on drugs. And that's exactly what they did, exactly the way that they were showing you in that film. That's the way it was working. But, see, we used to call it dope. They used to be called dope dealers, not drugs. You remember that? They were dope dealers. Yeah. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Because those people that take that marijuana become dopes. It turns them into dopes. And I know a lot of them, you see, especially, look what happened out there in Colorado. Colorado went to the dogs. I mean, it really went to the...
As soon as they legalized it, Pastor Ernie, there's been studies on it. To the very month they legalized marijuana, the whole state just took a dive.
Yeah, well, I think the state legislators were all smoking that because they all really, really, really became morally dumbed down. I mean, you know, just unbelievably dumbed down. And now, you know, car insurance has skyrocketed there. I mean, you had so many accidents. You know, it just was a total disaster. How many people got killed because of marijuana? And so Trump needs to backtrack.
You never really hear that about marijuana. You know, it used to be drunk driving with alcohol. But marijuana affects your impairment. It's an impairment also, but do you ever hear of it?
No, because of the money that's being made. It's a lot of money, and that money gets to right people. But, you know, like with alcohol, John and Joe, out of 10 people, 1 out of 10 take alcohol every day. In other words, they do it on a daily basis, 1 out of every 10. Out of 10 out of 100 drink alcohol every single day. With marijuana, it's more than 2 out of 10. More than that smoke it or take it in one form or another every day. Which makes it actually a lot more dangerous. It's actually a lot more dangerous than alcohol. And here now, I mean, Trump wants to, because the big dope dealers, the big drug boys are, you know, they're behind this. He needs to back off on that and not make it less dangerous. In other words, he needs to go exactly in the opposite direction, make it much more. What do you think?
I'm agreeing with you.
Corruption. In fact, John, if I can jump in, it's corruption. When they started legalizing it in the states, you could see the money, the corruption, the political buying and selling. We've got the best politicians money can buy, and that's why a lot of those politicians, Trump this time I think was lifting his finger to the wind, and too many people are making big money off the marijuana, and he's not going to have the votes or the backing to try and include it. And I think what he's having to do is pick his battles. He's fighting so many fronts that if he pushes too far, he loses more of those so-called moderate Republicans. And he's in the fight of his life. He's fighting for the heart and soul of this country. And I think he's having to make some real tough decisions on the battles he can win. Unfortunately, I think it's planned. I think he knows it's wrong, but I think it's a calculated risk.
Well, you know, he needs to hear from the people. Our politicians, all of them, need to hear from us. And here, you know, it was an interesting thing, too. Go ahead.
Excuse me, Pastor Ernie. But I called my two state senators here over these Democrats that are trying to undermine the army. It's treason. I mean, it's absolute treason. And they did nothing. They do. If you won't stand up for senators and congressmen that are trying to publicly go out publicly and to sow discord amongst the military, what do they have left, Pastor Ernie, in the Republican Party?
Well, they're going after the one. It looks like the Pentagon's going to go after, what's his name, Mark Kelly?
Well, that's real nice, but how about someone standing up in the Senate and calling them treasonous enemies of America? How about that? How about if you got to stand? And
okay,
when they didn't stand, Pastor Ernie, we're in real trouble. You know, Trump can only do so much. And where is the Senate? All these judges, everything they're doing. Where's the Senate and the House? Where are they standing up with him? I mean, they're letting MS-13, this guy Garcia, the federal court is letting him go and saying you can't rearrest him when he's already been told twice by the immigration judges that he's to be expelled from the country.
I know.
And where are the Republicans, Pastor Ernie? Where are they?
Very good question, John. This is what we've been saying, that the Republicans have a history, you know, of taking people, bringing them before the House and the Senate, but then they don't ever do anything. And
they're not even bringing them before the House or the Senate.
And you've seen the left becoming bolder, and this is why I'm saying...
Exactly, Pastor Ernie. You nailed it.
And all these so-called conservatives, any of these people, these so-called Republican conservatives, so-called Christians that don't vote in the midterm, that don't go out, not only go out but encourage others, I don't want anything to do with them. I wouldn't even want to talk to them if they did that. They deserve whatever bad things can happen to them if they won't stand up and go in. And because a lot of them, you know, these people that say, I only vote in presidential elections. Here's the reason you said that. You're a dummy. You're a dummy. And that's why we have a lot of the problems that we have in this country right now today. So we got to get we got to get out there in the midterms, but you're right. We got to let these congressmen, these senators hear from us, and these corrupt judges. They need to be every one of these people. And these prosecutors too. Like that young woman that got set on fire and burned to death while people sat there and watched her, you know, taking pictures with her cell phone. That Attorney General Bragg there in New York, he needed to be charged with her murder. He needed her and the judge to put that nut back on the streets over and over and over again. These people, these prosecutors, they need to be charged. This Letitia James, she's as crooked as day one. And yet, here again, she's right now, they've got these corrupt courts. You got here, in her case down there, it's not a people's grand jury. You know, see, with a people's grand jury, you have a foreman of the grand jury. They come together, and these aren't professional people that are there forever, okay? And then they come up, they make the charge, and then they tell the prosecutor how to bring the charges. That's not the way it's been working. The prosecutor goes over there, he tells the grand jury, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're going to find. So they get a liberal, communist, Democrat prosecutor that goes in there and tell these people, and they don't know any better, so they just listen to him and they do what they're told. And this is why one super, super corrupt prosecutor, attorney general, one super, super corrupt attorney general is walking because of her fellow corrupt prosecutors. And now Trump has told Pam Bondi, and he, in no uncertain terms, I want her arrested. She's broken the law, and I want her. And I'm hoping, it's not, we don't want vengeance. We want justice, don't we, fellas?
Exactly, but here's the problem. You and I remember years ago, during the Obama reign, the reign of, I call it, terror, that people didn't realize it. What did we say almost every night?
Do you see what he's doing now? Do you see what he's doing now, didn't we?
He's taking all these bureaucrats out. He's taking professionals out. He's taking people who actually were probably nonpartisan and was replacing them with political hacks, people that drank the Kool-Aid, would follow the narrative, that would go along with the left. And he really is responsible for the one who... The deep state existed, but he is the one who made it large and powerful and allowed it to grow and fester, be more and more corrupt. And this is what is causing these moderates to be worried because they can be taken to a court. They're worried about the left because the left holds so much powers in the courts. Look what they did to Obama, Trump. They went after him. It cost him millions and millions of dollars fighting in court. And these other people that didn't have money, look what happened to them. General Flynn went bankrupt, went down. Other people went to jail, and if it wasn't for Trump and pardons, they'd still be there. Fear controls a great deal of Washington, and a lot of these Republicans have no courage, have no faith. They are more worried about what the far left can do, you know, because some of them have skeletons in their closets or affairs or whatever. I don't know, but we know that, to remember, the Clintons used to keep secret records of all these people and knew exactly what their skeletons were. And so half of Washington works on fear and intimidation. And I'm not sure what the answer is, because we've got to get people in that are clean enough that they can't go after. Like Trump, he's been standing up to everything. They throw everything at him, but nothing sticks because he didn't do a bunch of things that were wrong, illegal, or immoral. And he might have been a ploy boy back when he was single, but so were a lot of men. Nobody goes to jail for that. But that's the problem, is this fear and intimidation that's happening, and people do not talk about it. They're afraid to.
Well, we did. If you'll remember very clearly, the first thing Obamanation did was he purged 11 four-star generals, remember? And we were saying, these are real men, real military men. Yeah. These are patriotic generals who believe in God and country. And not a peep out of the fake news media. I mean, we were the only ones talking about it. And
right. And then he went and started getting rid of the Navy admirals, and at the end he purged well over 240 top military brass. They were either conservative or Christian conservative, and the people he moved up into their positions were all what? Favored Democrats, or at least...
Bootlickers. They were bootlickers. They were
bootlickers. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Millie. And
Millie's even worse than a bootlicker. He'll sell his soul for. He's already done that.
He still worries about being court-martialed.
Yeah, and, he should. For
yeah.
What he did, he should be.
And so, yeah, he should be.
But do you agree that fear is a big part of what's behind this?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about here. Millie, there was supposed to be some investigation, remember, of Millie and a whole bunch of other high officers there. And we have heard nothing. Nothing. It's almost a year now. What Millie did was treason. He was the head of the, not the armed services, the... what is that
Pentagon called? He was at the Pentagon, but he was the Secretary of Defense.
He's beyond that. The chiefs of staff there.
Yeah. Okay.
He was
yeah.
the chief of staffs, and he told the Chinese you know, he would cooperate with them. He'd let them know Trump, what Trump was going to do. And why nothing has happened to him. It's like treason at the highest level.
Yeah.
He should have been removed immediately when he said that. He should have been forced to resign, had his commission taken away. But trouble is, again, I think people were afraid.
Yeah. And, well, of course, that's what those, what has taken place today with, what do you call it, the six? What are they called? The
seditious six.
Yeah, seditious, yeah. See, a lot of people don't understand. Like, I've had people say, well, what's wrong with telling these soldiers not to obey illegal orders? Well, we all knew that, you don't obey illegal orders. The point that they were making and the way that was framing it is they were giving the impression that all of Trump's orders were illegal orders. And this is again, go ahead.
I think it goes a little beyond that, or maybe not beyond that. I think that they have a coup in mind, or an attempted coup in mind.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and that was part of, they were trying to set the military up, because when they pull this coup off, or if they attempt to pull it off, they're going to holler what Trump is doing is illegal. He's rising up. He's calling the army against the American people. This is illegal. This is illegal. Because why would they do that, Pastor Ernie? They're trying to turn the military against the president and their members of Congress. It's why would you possibly do that? Trump's not doing anything illegal.
Well, I know it's we are at war. The Democratic Communist Party, the Democratic Communist. We are at war with them. I mean, it's that simple.
Well, you understand that. Trump understands that. Brother Joe understands that. Trump is fighting against it, and this is a bad night for me with the Republicans, Pastor Ernie. When I was a kid, and I was learning politics as a kid, I was hearing like relatives talking, you know, they were saying the Republicans are no good. That, Pastor Ernie, this was in the 1950s. They don't stand for anything. They cave all the time. Here we are, all these years later, and it's like nothing's changed with it. So
there, you know, we do have a few.
That's the way it was 60 years ago.
Yeah.
70 years ago.
We do have a few Republicans out there that will stand and fight, like Josh Hawley's one, Jim Jordan's one, but there are very few. You have Ted Cruz there, and but percentage wise, they're about what, 10%? Would you say?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, and you know, you wonder why people don't vote.
Well, and the reason they're doing it is they're not hearing from the people. And it's the people's fault. The people have the responsibility to put fire to their feet. I mean, it's our responsibility is to motivate them, right?
Yeah, okay, I understand, Pastor Ernie. I understand that. But it's our responsibility to have our senators stand up against
treason.
Treason and sedition and all. It's our responsibility to get them to do that, Pastor Ernie?
Well, it's our responsibility to let them know that they should be doing it when they're not.
Right. They should be doing it. The elected U.S. senators and congressmen there, we have to put fire under their feet to stand up against traitors in the Senate and in the House. They're absolute, literally traitors.
That's right. Hey, we're coming up to a hard break, so hang in there. When we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to cover tonight, so get ready, folks. More to come. Be right back after this.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries.
14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hey, girl. Yes, you. You are seen. You are loved. And you were made for more. Hey, created especially for teen girls, chart-topping Christian artist Ann Wilson invites you to her 40-day devotional, Hey Girl, through honest stories, scripture, and journal prompts. Ann talks about real struggles, comparison, insecurity, doubt, and faith, reminding you that God is always near and fighting for you. Hey Girl, from K-Love Books. Get your copy today at klove.com/books.